So a couple of Ansem should clear it right up. And if that doesn't work, then I'll prescribe some. And that should do the trick.
Oh, thanks, Doc.
Just what the Doc ordered, thanks to our friends at the Department of Conservation.
Yes, it's time for our monthly catch-up with our friends from the Department of Conservation. We've got Marine Protection Ranger Shelley Ogle here with us. Morena.
Morena.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, really good. Thanks for joining us.
No worries.
We love chatting with Doc, and we're particularly excited because we're talking all about korora, or penguins, today.
Yep, they are pretty penguins. Great.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about, to start with, your job and what is sort of involved in your realm of Doc.
Yeah, so I am a Marine Protection Ranger, like you said, and I'm in a new team called the Marine Team, and we're based in the Hauraki Gulf doing the new protections as well as marine reserves and just generally looking after the Gulf and making sure we've got the whole team.
Cool. That's awesome. Relatively new department, but you've worked with penguins for a wee while now, eh?
Yeah, so I've been working on and off with penguins for the last decade. I did my master's with them right down south in Wamaru, and specifically the korora, but I've also worked with hoiho too, which are the yellow-eyed penguins.
Cute. So what got you like really into penguins at the start?
I think, honestly, I don't think anyone needs to get into penguins. Like, everyone just loves penguins.
They're pretty lovable.
They're so lovable.
They're so cute.
Until you pick them up, you don't want to do that.
Oh, really? Can they get quite vicious?
The korora, especially, I say, they have small man syndrome. They're just super aggressive. They do not like being picked up, which is totally fair, because if you were the size of a bag of sugar, I don't think you'd like being picked up by a giant either.
Korora, little penguins. A lot of people might not even know that we have them in the Hauraki Gulf in Auckland. How many of them are there then? Do we know?
Yeah, so we don't have exact numbers on the Hauraki Gulf, but I think anyone who's been out on a boat or a kayak or even a ferry across the Gulf would have seen them floating around on the water like ducks when they're taking a rest, and that's pretty cool. They're what's called nocturnal on land, and so they only come ashore at nighttime. They're pretty vulnerable to predators and things. And so they spend most of their time in the water during the day, and they'll sit on top of it, they'll dive under it to go fishing. And then they waddle ashore kind of at dusk, which is pretty cool to see too.
What sort of stuff are they up to at this time of year during the summer?
So summer for them, like a lot of our seabirds, is breeding season. So that means that they're looking after eggs and chicks, and the parents especially need a lot of space to be able to go and get enough food for themselves as well as their babies back home. The chicks hatch out fluffy and brown and not particularly waterproof, so they can't go in the water themselves to find food, which means that the parents have to provide everything, and when the chicks start getting big, both parents have to go out to be able to provide enough food for the little chonkers.
I'm imagining that this new system of protections in the Hauraki Gulf is going to help look after our penguins a lot more and ensure that they have the space they need for nesting and such.
Yeah, so the new protections are all water-based, so hopefully it'll be protecting their food source because they are so reliant on a healthy ocean to be able to feed. They're also visual feeders, so making sure that they can see in the water to be able to actually find the fish, and then hopefully they can come ashore and breed really successfully as well.
Cool. Yeah. So interesting. What are some of the main threats that they face? Because I know there'll be like pet dogs and stuff on the beach in terms of nesting, right?
Yeah, you've nailed it there. So there's two, I guess, classes of threats. They have the threats on land and they have the threats in the water, and the water's obviously food supply, being able to see, like I said, and all of that kind of stuff. And then they have their natural threats, so predators in the water, things like all kinds of things can kill them in the water, sharks and that kind of stuff, mostly around here. But then, on land, they're really vulnerable, and a lot of that is people's fault. And so we've developed around where they used to nest. Even though they do like sharing houses with us, they do make very noisy flatmates. a really, really big problem is dogs. They can sniff the penguins out really easily. And like I said, they're very vulnerable on land. They are completely ground-based. They can't fly off like other birds can. And they're also very, very stinky. So they don't hide themselves very well. Dogs do get them, and because they look like little soft toys and they make squeaky sounds, dogs just ragdoll them, and there's no chance for the penguins once a dog finds them.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah. I feel as though you've probably got a lot more up close and personal with these little guys than most people would have. Have you got any favourite stories from your time spent hanging out with Korora?
I think every time I'm near a Korora is my favourite time with a Korora. I love seeing them in the water. I love seeing them on top of the water. But I guess the story that sticks out for me the most is doing some work down in Wamaru. One of the issues they do have on land is crossing roads. So they put a culvert in so that they could cross under the road. But they are burrow nesters, so there was a pair that decided that this culvert made a really good nest site. And so the penguins stopped going under the road, and we were trying to help them under there, and I very foolishly said, I reckon I could fit in there.
Oh my gosh.
So,
did you get stuck?
I didn't get stuck, no. But I did move the penguins on, who then hit another group of penguins at the end of the tunnel and then came running back towards me, who was taking up the entirety of the tunnel, and then bounced off my face, bit my face, and I ended up with a Harry Potter scar for quite some time.
Oh my god, that's a great story.
Yeah, I love them. Yeah,
they sound like such little characters.
They have so much personality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sassy little creatures. Oh, that's awesome. So get your dog on a leash this summer and just look out for them.
Yeah, for sure. So they're all around the Gulf. They're all around the West Coast as well. They're all around Aotearoa in general. And keeping your dog on a lead, keeping your dog under control, and not letting them go off and sniff around dunes or rock walls or anything where korora or other birds could be about, because our seabirds really don't stand a chance when they're on land and a dog finds them.
I mean, yeah, speaking of that, I mean, I know, like you say, the Hauraki Gulf protections will do more to help the sort of health of the ocean, which is really important for the korora.
Totally.
But moving forward, what would you like to see in terms of developments to help protect them more on land in terms of, like, policy or things that you might like to see come up?
Yeah, I guess, again, just to really hit home on it, is dog control, is making sure that we give penguins space. So it's not just during breeding season that they need space. They do what's called a catastrophic molt, which means they lose all their feathers all at once just right. after the breeding season. They can't even fish for themselves, so they're stuck on land while they do that. Mm-hmm. I've said it so many times, they're so vulnerable on land. They tend to hide away. But, yeah, dogs will find them, will sniff them out. So if you are on the beach this summer, just remembering that there are so many birds around that are just trying to use that space as well. And it is a privilege to be able to take our dogs to these spaces, but maybe just having a second thought about how far they're straying or where they're going, or maybe it's okay to just keep them on a lead.
Tautoko. Yeah. Just be mindful, everyone, of the environment you're in and how we can all do our bit to protect it.
Exactly.
This Raumati. Well, thank you so much, Shelley, for joining us for a
Kōrero.
Thanks,
Shelley.
So no cool worries. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So cool to learn a little bit more about your mahi. And we've got a Blue Cafe. Blue Cafe? Nothing Really Blue by Penguin Cafe Orchestra. There we go. That's the song we've got lined up.
It is. Let's listen. Thank you so much, Shelley.
That's okay.
Thank you.
That was just what the doc ordered, thanks to our friends at the Department of Conservation.